So we're on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we're up to officially Omar Mar, which would be, I would say, about 12 lines, 13 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Ka Omar. And before we start with Omar Mar, let's just review the last piece of the Gemara. Remember, we had a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel says all you need to be mater mavu is a lechi or a koro, one of the two, whereas Beit Shammai require both a lechi and a koro. And the Gemara quotes in a brisa the name of Shimon Gamliel that the whole issue about which Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai are divided is about a mavi that has an opening of 4 amos minimum. Again, not more than 10 amos, but a wide entrance way that is 4 amos wide. If it's less than 4 amos wide, then it's considered like susum. It's almost like it's a closed mavui on all sides, and therefore it doesn't need any tikkun. And that was one brisa that we studied yesterday. Then, in addition, we had another brisa. The brisa told us a story about Rabbi Eliezer and his Talmud, Rabbi Yossi ben Preda. And Rabbi Eliezer visited his Talmud, and he finds him, you know, sitting in a mavui, and there's only one lechi. And Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yossi, "What are you talking about? One lechi? That's not enough. You need a second lechi." So Rabbi Yossi responds to his rabbi, to Rabbi Lozar, and he says to him, "Wait a minute. The chiyisto mani tzorach? In other words, do I have to actually close off, you know, my mavui on all sides? In other words, why, Rabbi Eliezer, why are you telling me that you need a second lechi?" So the Gemara says the following, that I'm just going to read the last line before we start Omer Mar. E amrit bishlema lechayayim vikora. The Gemara had a suffolk as to whether or not, if you go according to the Shita of Beit Shammai, you need one lechi and one kora, or perhaps two lechis plus a kora. And the Gemara thinks that from the fact that when Rabbi Eliezer told his Talmud, Rabbi Yossi, to add another lechi, it meant that he already had a lechi and a kora, and Rabbi Eliezer was telling his Talmud to add a second lechi. And now it makes sense that Rabbi Yossi's response was, "V'chi sosma ani tzarech? Do I have to close this off on all sides? But if you're going to tell me that all you need is two lechis without a kora, and that's what Beit Shammai had in mind, is then why did Rabbi Yossi say that by adding another lechi, it's called closed off?" And the Gemara answered, "Sosma b'lechayayim anitzarech." That what Rabbi Yossi meant to say was that putting a lechi here and a lechi there, that's also considered a closed mavui. It's completely closed. And in the footnote, he says that the Rashba holds that Rabbi Yossi was under the impression that a lechi has to be a minimum of 3 tefachim wide. That was Rabbi Yossi's shita that we mentioned earlier in the Masechta. And therefore he thought that by putting up 2 lechis, which is 3 tefachim here and 3 tefachim there, you're basically closing off the mavui. Omar Mar, that's what we want to start today. We had a brisa earlier, Omar Abshim ben Elozalo, Nechagu Beit Shavesil, Al Mavui Shepachos Mi'arba Al Moshe Nitzar Klum. In the case of a very narrow opening into the Mavui, nobody, not Beis Hillel and not even Beit Shammai require any sort of tikkun. That's already considered as if it's a closed mavui, because the only opening is like three amos wide. So Gemara asks a kasha v'anan tnan. We have in our Mishnah Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omar Talmud Echel Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. Remember, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were two contemporaries. And there was a Talmud that used to take Rabbi Shmuel's statements and his rulings and bring it over to Rabbi Akiva to see what Rabbi Akiva would say about it. And he told Rabbi Akiva that lo nechaku beicham beisul al mavi shu pachas me'arba amos shu nitar o belechi o bekorah. In other words, that even Beit Shammai accepts Beis Hillel, that you have the alternative of either a lechi or a korah in a case of a mavui that has an opening that's relatively narrow, meaning it's only 3 amos, for example, 3.5 amos, whatever it might be. But you see clearly that the Brisa assumes that you need a tikkun mavui even if the opening is less than 4 amos. And here we're saying in this Brisa that Ein Tzar Klum. He doesn't need neither a lechi nor a korah. He doesn't need batich. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says that we have to reinterpret eino tzar klum. What does it mean, eino tzar klum? Hachi kamer. This is what it means. Eino tzar lechi v'korah. It does not require both a lechi and a korah kibet shamai, but rather one of the two is sufficing. And lo lechayayim kir Rabbi Eliezer. We had Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation that you need 2 lechis. Ela osa, but rather he does o lechi o korah kibes hillel. In other words, that everybody agrees that what Beis Hillel says about every single mavui, whether it's less than 4 amos in its open, it's in the entranceway, or it's more than 4 amos wide in its entranceway, you always require either a lechi or a korah. In a case of an opening to a mavui which is less than 4 amos, everybody agrees that either a lechi or a korah will suffice. Vekama. Okay, I'm not sure what the word vekama means. Just 1 second. Let me read to you the translation here, the word vekama. He says, Ad kama ye pesach ha-movi tsar v'adayin yutzrach l'tiku. Ah! The Gemara says in the word vakama, the underlying premise is that if the entranceway is really, really narrow, you know, yeah, in order to get into the mavui, you got to sort of, you know, shift your shoulders around. It's so narrow that everybody agree in that case that it's considered sasum. You don't need neither a lechi nor a korah. You know, that obviously separates the mavui from the rishus harabim. You know, nobody would make any confuse the two. So I'd come at what point. Is it finally narrow enough, this entranceway, that you don't need anything, neither a lechi nor a korah, according to all opinions? Omer Rav Achlai, v'itema Rav Yechiel, ad arba tfachim. In other words, the minimum amount of a Pesach mavui, that sets up a mavui that needs a lechi and a korah, is going to be 4 tfachim. If it's less than 4 tfachim wide, then everybody agrees that it's sasum. It's completely closed, and it doesn't need any tikkun at all. You don't need a lechi or mavli. Now, 4 tfachim, let's assume that a tefach is 6 inches. I'm just throwing something out, right? So a 4 tfachim would be 2 feet, right? 2 feet. All right, maybe this is 2 feet. Is about enough, you know, for a human body to, like, just get through. That's not really a Pesach that needs a tikkun. But once you pass the 4 tfachim, then it's called a Pesach, and we need some sort of element of a heker or a stima, you know, to have a mechitz over there. According to Beis Hillel, will require either a lechi or a korah. According to Beit Shammai, will require both a lechi and a korah, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, we need even 2 lechis. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Marav, Modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer b'pasei chotzer. Meaning that here we have a fundamental difference between a mavui and a chotzer. A mavui requires 1 lechi. on one side, you're going to put up a lechi. But a chatzah requires a lechi on the other side, which is not called a lechi, it's called a pas. And even those who require one lechi for a mavui require two lechayayim in the case of a chatzah, which means that a chatzah is always more chamur than a mavui. We'll try to explain that as we go along. But one question I wanted to address, and we've touched on it in the past, why do you call this a pas on each side? Why not call it a lechi? What's the difference between the word pas and the word lechi? So when it comes to a chatzer, the lechi of a chatzer is called a pas, and it would seem that the only difference between them is that a lechi of a mavui could have what's called a rochav kol shehu. There's no minimum requirement in terms of the width of the lechi. And Rabbi Yossi is the only Tana who says that a lechi has to be three tefachim. But let's say we don't accept Rabbi Yossi, so we're going to assume that a lechi for a mavui would only require what? Would only require one, well, require a mashahu. A mashahu. Okay then? Now, in the case of a pas of a chatzer, then, just one second. So in the case of a pas of a chatzer, apparently, I'm not saying that everybody agrees to what I'm about to say, you would need that the pas be four tefachim. Now let's just think. A lechi for a mavui, according to Chachamim, against Rabbi Yossi, is going to be what? Is going to be a mashu. Rabbi Yossi says that a lechi has to be three tefachim wide. Now, what's the minimum size of a pas for a chatzer? So according to this, it's going to be four tefachim, which means that a lechi is either a mashahu, a kolshu, or it's three tefachim, but it's not four tefachim. A pas for a chatzer has got to be four tefachim. However, Tosfos, on the top of our Amud here, on Daf Yud Beis, assume that even the pasim of a chatzer do not require a shear, and therewith is also a kolshu. So according to this school of thought, that a pas of a chatzer doesn't require a shear, then basically a pas of a chatzer is identical with a lechi. So why again, in the case of a chatzer, do we call it a pas? So he offers a number of answers. The first answer is that if you make a chatzer with only one lechi, then you need a pas that's four tefachim wide. In other words, when we say that a pas, according to Tosfos, could be a mashu, like a lechi, that's only because he's got a lechi on both sides. But what he could get away with is a lechi on one side of a chatzer, but that would have to be a pas, which means four tefachim. So in the case of a chatzer, then, according to this approach, which is called a Tosa Rush, you have two options. You could either set up two lechis on both sides of the entrance of the chatzer, and that would make it into a kolshu on each side. Or you could have a lechi on one side, and that would require a pas that's four tefachim. So we're borrowing the word pas and substituting pas for lechi in that one case where he only has one pas. Now he has another approach, and he says that in general, when you have a chatzer, they would put a delis, a door, as the entrance into a chatzer. He doesn't give us the sociological background for this, but that's what he says. And therefore, when they would create a pass in a situation, let's say, where there's no delis, then they would use a wide pass to sort of substitute for the delis. And finally, he gives another answer that a lechi could even be something that blows with the wind. It's so thin, like a chut, like a string, that the wind will cause it to blow. A pass, in the case of a chatzer, has to be wide enough so that the wind would not blow it. In his language, he says, Yochel lamod bifnei atzmo. Okay, let's just summarize. The bottom line of everything we're discussing is that chatzer is more strict and more stringent than mavui. And a mavui requires one lechi, and the lechi is a kol shehu. A chatzer requires pas, and now we're saying that he needs either one pas on one side, that's four tefachim, or he needs two pasim on both sides. The pas might have to be something that is strong enough that it wouldn't be blown away. And perhaps we said that in the case of a chatzer, we need a pas of four tefachim wide because it's replacing what normally would be a delis. And the question is, what's the difference between a mavui and a chatzer? So he says the following. This is Rashi in a number of places in Erevin. Says that a chatzer is square, or alternatively, it's wider than it's long. A mavui is longer than it's wide. So at what point does a mavui become a chatzer? And then we have to answer the question, why we're more machmir in a chatzer? But first, just to identify what's a mavui and what's a chatzer. Whereas a mavui is long and not so wide, a chatzer is at least a square, where its width and its length are the same, or its width is greater than its length. Okay. So again, let's go back to the Gemara of Rav Sheshes. Even the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and they hold you don't need two lechis to be matir of mavui, one lechi suffices. Nevertheless, they agree that in the case of a chatzer, then you're going to need two pasim, as we call it, or two lechis, if you want to call it that, from both sides. Now, keep in mind that both in mavui and lech and chatzer, we're talking about an area that opens into Rishus HaRabim, correct? So that you have many, many different batim that share one courtyard, and you can enter into the courtyard from Rishus HaRabim. Or alternatively, you have many different chatzeros that all spill into a mavui, and that mavui leads you into Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, in both cases, a chatzer and a mavui, there's a certain similarity to a Rishus HaRabim, even though technically it might be Rishus HaYachid, and therefore the Rabbanah required some sort of tikkun to be matir mavui in a chatzer. We're going to be more machmer in the case of a chatzer, and we require pasim, which let's say at this point means he needs a pas on the right side, a pas on the left side, and one lechi is not sufficient. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and getting back to this statement of Rav Sheshes, which ultimately is the name of Rav, that there is a Tana who's going to disagree with Rabbi Eliezer in the case of a Mavui, but nevertheless, he agrees that in the case of a Chatzer, you need two Pasim. Man Modim, Rebbe. So when it says modim chachamim, that's Rebbe. So in other words, Rav Nachman Yitzchok is identifying the chachamim of Rav, meaning Rav Sheshes in the name of Rav, as Rebbe. and halacha. One sec. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I skipped a line. Sorry, my mistake. Rav Nachman Omar, halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer v'pasei chotzer. In other words, there are those who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer in the case of chotzer, and they hold that all you need is one pas. You don't need a pas on each side. But we paskin, says Rav Nachman, like Rabbi Eliezer, and you need two pasim on each side. So, yeah?
So why, it seems Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman both seem to agree with Rav Eliezer that you need two pasim.
Correct, that is correct.
So that's why they're saying, where do they agree? Because they're both agreeing? Is that the point of the...
Yeah, the Gemara is making an important point here that Rav Nachman also accepts Rabbi Eliezer, and the premise is, in the name of Rav, that what Rabbi Eliezer is telling us is that everybody agrees that you need two pasim on each side in the case of a chotzer.
A chotzer that borders on a Rishus HaRabin, or
That's what I know now. You know, you'll ask me this question maybe at the end of today, and I might change my mind. But Basheru Sham, I'm talking about because you remember that we had another case where the Chatzer opens up into a Mavui, or you have one Chatzer that opens up into another Chatzer, a smaller Chatzer that opens up into a... You know, there are a lot of variations here, but I think... You know, for our purposes, just to simplify, let's talk about a chotzer that opens up into Rishus HaRabim, right? Imagine you live in a house, correct? And you have a next-door neighbor in the next house. And you both go out of your house, you know, go down the steps, and you enter into a courtyard. Where does that courtyard take you? Ultimately, it takes you out into Rishus HaRabim, does it not? So I'm just giving that example. Again, there are a lot of variations and nuances here.
Okay.
But that, I think, is a good, solid, simple case. Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and he's going back to the statement of Rav that implies that, again, we have to mention that that Yesh Tana Cholik al Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, that there's a Tana that would say that in the case of a Mavui, you know, all we need is one lechi, but yet that Tana would be Moda that in the case of a Chotzer, we need Pasim on both sides. So who is that? Who is that Tana, Man Modim, can we identify, who on the one hand that Tana holds that if you are talking about a Mavui, one lechi is enough. If you're talking about a chotzer, you need a pas on both sides, Rebbe. And Rav Nachman says, halacha kedivrei, right, ki Rabbi Eliezer, bepasei chotzer. So it seems that somebody might disagree with him, Michal de Pligi. So who are these Tanoim that disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, even in Chotzer, would say that you don't need two pasim, man pligi alei rabbonon. There are Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe, and they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer as well, and they hold that even a Chotzer, the Sanya Chotzer, niteres bepas echad, all you need is one pas. And Rebbe omer shnei pas, and Rebbe requires a pas on both sides. Omer Avasi, Omer Rav Yochanan, Chotzer Tzricha Shnei Pasim. So again, now we have Rav Yochanan, who supports the opinion that we said is attributed to Rebbe as well as to Rabbi Eliezer, that a Chotzer needs two Pasim on each side. Amale Rav Zeril Rav Asi, when Rav Asi reported in the name Rav Yochanan, this halacha, so Rav Zeril turns and he says, Mi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi, Va'at hu di amrit mishmei, the Rav Yochanan, you in the past have given us another transmission in the name of Rav Yochanan, that Pasei Chotzer, Tzrichim Shiehei Bohem Arba. Okay. So, big deal. So, the pas of a chotzer needs four. Now, apparently, the Gemara assumes that if a pas is four tfachim, then it would be enough to have a pas on one side. And we mentioned that earlier, if you recall. V'chitem, and if you'll reject my question and say, Enochinami arba tfachim, but you need each pas has to be arba tfachim. Mikan arba tfachim, umikan arba tfachim. So you need all told 8 tfachim. He says that's an untenable position. Why? Vatani, Rabbi Abba, Rav Adobar Avimi. Kamed Rav Chanina, Rav Ada had a brisa which he presented in front of Rav Chanina. Amile, others say it was in front of Rav Chanina bar Papi. And brisa, and this brisa that we're about to learn says explicitly what's going to be reflected in a Mishnah, and interpreting a Mishnah, the Mishnah says, this is on Daf Tzadi Beis, you know, it'll be a while till we get to that, and it says over there, Chatzer Gedola, right, this is something very familiar to us. Remember, you have two Chatzeros, you have a smaller Chatzer and a larger Chatzer, and the wall that separates the two Chatzeros was breached, so you have a Nifritzah situation, right, so you have the Chatzer Aktana now is Nifritzah into the Gedola, and the Mishnah says that you're allowed to carry in the larger Chatzer, but you're not allowed to carry in the smaller Chatzer. And Rav Ada had a Braisa that interpreted that Mishnah, and we've already quoted this earlier, that the difference in size, in the width between the Gedola and the Ketana, is 1 Amma, because the Ketana is 10 Amos wide, and the Gedola is 11 Amos wide. So the whole Nafkamina here is a distance of 6 Tfachim, right? 1 Amma is 6 Tfachim. So the Chatzer HaGdola now has on both sides a pass of 3 Tfachim. So you see that you don't need 2 Passim of 4 Tfachim. Right, you just finished telling me that maybe Rabbi Yochanan, when he says that a pas of a chatzer must be 4 tefachim in width, what he meant was each of the two pasim on both sides. Well, then what are we going to do with the Mishnah that's interpreted by the Braisa to say that the difference between the chatzer gdola and the chatzer ketana on each side is 3 tefachim? Right, 1 Amma, 10, 11, which is 6 Tfachim, 3 Tfachim on each side. Now the maximum you could get for this Chatzer, meaning to be Matir the Chatzer Gdola, is a pass of 3 Tfachim. Now Rabbi Yochanan clearly said that you need a pass of 4 Tfachim. And now you're telling me that moreover Rabbi Yochanan would require a pass of 4 Tfachim on both sides. How do we square that with this Mishnah of the Chatzer Gedola, the Nifritzah to the Chatzer Ketana? So the Chatzer Gedola has 2 Pasim on both sides, but they're only 3 Tfachim wide. So how do you square that with Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Pasim of Chatzer has to be 4 Tfachim? 4 Tfachim. The answer is that you don't need 2 tfachim of 4, you don't need 2 pasim of 4 tfachim. You don't need 2 pasim of 4 tfachim. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that you can get away with 1 pas if it's 4 tfachim, and you don't need 2 pasim of 4 tfachim. It could be, I'm just thinking out loud, that 2 pasim on both sides, if they're 3 tfachim, would be just as good as 1 pas on one side of 4 tfachim. I mean, I'll take that with, you know, limited liability. So the Gemara says, how do we reconcile this contradiction? Because on the one hand, we have a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan holds you need 2 pasim. On the other hand, we have a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan requires that a pas of a chatzah be 4 tfachim wide. That doesn't make sense according to that Mishnah, the way the Braisa interprets that Mishnah. You don't have a pas of 4 tfachim. So ki solik Rabbi Zera Miami, Rabbi Zera came back from a overseas trip, and he came in from the boat and Persia. And when he got here, he interpreted Rabbi Yochanan. How do we achieve a tikkun of a chotzer with a pas? Beruach achas. Oh, sorry, I didn't do bad. Beruach achas. If he's only putting up the pas on one side, is then is arba. He needs the width, a pas that has the width of four tefachim. Oh, but if he puts pasim mishtei ruchos on both sides, then all he needs is a mashu lekan, umashu lekan. Now, it's a little different than what I said. I said that if he does a pas on both sides, he needs three tefachim. The Gemara is saying, no, you don't need any, you need just a mashu would be enough. Ah, so wait a minute. So now the Gemara is going to present the following problem, because we said that the wider chotzer and the smaller is wider by one amma. Now, if he needs only a pas of a mashu on each side, then he should have just said, you know, that the larger chotzer is large by two mashuhus. Vartani, we learned to the Brice of Adabar Avimi, is... Oh, so now what do we do with this Brice... That you have to be put two pasim, each side would be three tefachim. Ah, Rebbe, he v'savar kirabiosi. Ah, so now we go back to a mavui. In the case of a mavui, we need a lechi. What's the size of the lechi? So Rabbi Yossi disagrees with all the chachamim that say mashu, and he holds you need a lechi that's three tefachim. So now what we're doing is, according to Rebbe, who requires a pas on both sides, we're going to say that a pas on both sides is equal to the lechi of Rabbi Yossi. And the lechi of Rabbi Yossi, in the case of a mavui, is three tefachim wide. So those three tefachim on each side will give you two pasim of Rebbe on both sides of a chotzer. And that's the deal of the Mishnah that has a chotzer gdola, a chotzer ktana. The chotzer gdola is 11 amos wide, and the chotzer ktana is 10 amos wide. Now, where does Rabbi Yochanan fit into this? Rabbi Yochanan says that we don't accept neither Rabbi Yossi nor the Braisa, that in a case where you have two pasim on both sides of a chotzer, that you require three tefachim. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have one pas of four amos, then that's sufficient. One pas of four tefachim, then that's sufficient. And if you put two pasim, then they could each be a mashu. Again, the reason why they could be a mashu is because we're not accepting Rabbi Yossi's definition of a lechi in mavui, which requires three tefachim. Okay, now what's Shmuel? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, chotzer niteres bepas echad. So one pas is enough. He's rejecting Rebbe and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yochanan. Well, no, not necessarily. It could be accepts Rabbi Yochanan. We don't know the size of the pas. It could be that pas is four tefachim wide. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Mi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Are you telling me that to be matter chotzer? All we need is one pas. Ve'amar le Shmuel l'Rabbi Chananya Bar Shilo. Atlo tavid uvda ela o birov dofen o bishnei pasiv. Okay, this is the sugya of rov dofen. Okay, I tried to work out the sugya of rov dofen. I'm sort of halfway there. But let's talk about the other option. The other option, leaving out rov dofen, is Shnei Pasim. So what does it mean? You're telling me that according to Shmuel, a chutz only needs one pas. And Shmuel, when he met up with Rab Chananya, he said to Rab Chananya, make sure that you have Shnei Pasim. Amalei, Rav Yosef turns to Abai, he says, I draw a blank on this one. Ano lo yadan. I cannot reconcile these two statements. I know that I heard from Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, that all you need is one pass. just one second. So I know that Shmuel only requires one pas. The uvda hava bedura de ravasa. Lashon yam shenichnas lechotzava ve'asa lekamider of Yehuda v'lo atzuchel pas echad. Okay. So basically, what's happening is the following. Rav Yosef is saying, look, you have a tradition that Shmuel told Rav Chananya that you need a pas that's four, I'm sorry, you need two pasim on both sides. Or alternatively, what's called Rov Dofen. I have a tradition that Shmuel said you only need one pas, and you don't need two pas to be Mater Chotzer. And in fact, there was a story in a place called Dura de Ravasa, which in Hebrew is called the Kfar Shel Ro'im. I think we've mentioned this in the past. The shepherds had their own little villages, you know, that were surrounded by fields, and each shepherd had a different commission on a different field. Anyway, so what happened in this town, which is called Dura de Ravasa? Lashon Yam. Now it's interesting. Whenever the sea flows into an area between houses, or in a chotzer, a courtyard that is surrounded by houses, then that part of the sea that enters into the chotzer is called a lashon. Lashon means a tongue, so to speak. Right, because you have the sea, and now a strip of the sea is overflowing into the chotzer, and that's called Lashon Yam HaNichnas LeChotzer. Now, what you have in essence is a chotzer that is completely open to the yam. Now, we'll keep in the back of our mind that the Yam has two halachic elements or ingredients that are relevant to us. First of all, a Yam is not a Rishus HaRab. A Yam is only a Carmelis. And secondly, a Yam brings water. In this case, you know, right up to the doorstep of the houses in the chotzer. And water is something that's very necessary. Now, I don't know if you can drink seawater. So I'm not sure exactly what they did with the water. Maybe they washed with the water. But there's a bit of a push to allow access, whenever possible, to water on Shabbos that normally we might not have been so lenient. Again, everything is about a Darabanan here. We're not talking about a life-threatening situation. But in order to make it easier to facilitate the accessibility of the water, they would be mekil in a Darabanan. Also, lekame de Rav Yehuda. And the case in this Dura de Ravasa came in front of Rabbi Yehuda. How could we allow drawing water into the house from this Lashon Shel Yam into the Lashon Shel Yam in the Chatzer? What tikkun do we need to the Chatzer? And lo atzurche ela pas echad. And Rabbi Yehuda said, you only need one pas. Right, so you have the water from the sea coming into the area in front of these two batim, which is called a courtyard. And you've got a wall, you have the facade of the buildings, that's one mechitza, and then you have a mechitza on the right, a mechitza on the left. And one of those two mechitzos would have to have a pas. And this is Rabbi Yehuda, who is representing, so to speak, his Rebbe Shmuel. And all we need is one pas. So let's go over what's going on over here. We have Rav Yosef, who has this tradition in the name of Rav Yehuda that apparently goes back to Shmuel, that you can be Mater HaChotzer with one pas. Number two, We have Abaye who objects to Rav Yosef because of another statement in a dialogue between the same Shmuel and Rabbi Hananya. He told him that you need a pass on both sides of the Chatzer. Amalei, so Abaye turns to Rav Yosef, who had said Lo Yadana, right? He didn't know how to reconcile this. I'll tell you how to reconcile it. I always think, you know, that Abaye was a Talmud of Rav Yosef who very much tried to help Rav Yosef because Rav Yosef had amnesia. He forgot a lot of his Torah. So sometimes Abaye would sort of, bolster his Rebbe Rav Yosef. Anyway, Lashon Yam Ko Amrit? Are you bothered by the fact that in the case of the Lashon Yam, Rabbi Yehuda representing Shmuel, was sufficed with one pass? Oh, no. We need two passes. But Lashon Shel Yam is different. Why? Kalhu Shehikilu. Just one second, sorry. Shehikilu Chachomim B'mayim. In other words, that even though a chotzer really needs two pasim, and Shmuel would agree that you need a pas on the one side and a pas on the other, in the case of Lashon Shel Yam, where we need milui mayim, we need to somehow find a kula in order to allow the bnei achotzer to go out and draw the water, they accepted a halfway measure, less than a full tikkun. One pas was all that they required. We have a story in which a certain Rabbi Tavla asked a question to Rav. And Rav responded to Rav Tavla, "Ein mechitza tluya materes ela b'mayim, and kalu sheikilu chachomim b'mayim." So this entire piece here, in which the Gemara records a dialogue back and forth between Rabbi Tavla, who asked the question to his Rabbi Rav, and Rav's response, is all coming to prove that the Rabbanon, wherever they could, they would be more flexible and more lenient in a case of milui mayim. And apparently there was a need for that water. And if it's seawater, I'm not exactly sure what they did with the water. They washed, whatever they did with the water. Well, maybe we'll get to that at some point. So what we have here is that... just one second. We have here a possibility of reducing the requirements of Tikkun Chatzer from two pasim to one for the sake of milui mayim. Now, what was the case of Rabbi Tavla and Rav? And this is called a mechitza tluya b'avir. So, a mechitza tluya b'avir means a mechitza that doesn't reach the ground. It's, so to speak, suspended in the air. It's like, for example, right here in front of my house. Now, I'm in number 16, but in front of number 14... they have minyanim, and they set up a roof, so to speak. It's a mat that's literally flying in the wind. You know, just it knocks off the sun, which is very, you know. So there's something called the mechitza tluya b'avir. Now let's keep in mind, if the mechitza dips down below 3 tfachim to the ground, let's say it's 2 tfachim high of airspace, then that mechitza is considered as if it went all the way to the ground. That's called lavud. You remember that principle. Lavud attaches two things that are within 3 tfachim. So we're talking about airspace of more than 3 tfachim. And that's the mechitza that's suspended in air. Okay, now Mao Shetatir Bechurba. I don't have a translation of the word Churba here. I can guess what it is, but do you have a translation of the word Churba by chance?
I'm not sure who you are at the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph.
Right.
And you see it gets very wide on the bottom. On all the way in the bottom, there are like 5 lines in the bottom. So if you if you go up from there, 1, 2, 3, just 1 second, 4, 5, 6 lines up from there, you may see a line that starts with the word Bimayim. Do you see such a line?
Yeah.
So the last word in that line is Churba. Okay, I was just wondering, the Hebrew translation assumes that you know what a churba is. Again, I have a hunch I know what a churba is, but...
Is it a ruin?
A ruin. Oh, excellent. Okay, good. So I was just afraid...
I don't have it here, but just from the churba, you know, the churba.
Right, right. Oh, I thought you were... I agree with you 100%. I just wanted to be absolutely sure that it... So you have, sometimes in a rune, what you have is that some of the structure is still standing, but part of the walls have been broken down. And in this case, they've been broken down on the ground. Right? 3 tefachim's worth of airspace on the ground. So that's a case of a mechitza tluya. And now the question is, do we say that since this mechitza is connected on top, you know, to the other mechitzas of the ruin, can we consider that as a mechitza? What's its status? Or is it considered prutza, you know, as if it's completely open? So Rav answered Rabbi Tavla by quoting a case of Ein mechitza tluya materis el b'mayim, that there's a case in which they allowed relying on a mechitza tluya for the sake of access to water, so that people could draw water, and to facilitate that, they allowed relying on a mechitza, which is not such a reliable mechitza because it's, as we said before, it's suspended in air. And all this is a kal shehu sheikilu chachamim b'mayim. And the rabbanon were mekil in mayim. So then the Gemara concludes by saying, mikomakom kasha. As we still have a contradiction in Shmuel, because Shmuel said that you can rely on one pass, but yet it seems that he required 2 passim. And again, if he only, you know, allowed you to get away with 1 pass in the case of Mayim, of Mili Mayim, he should have stipulated that Bamedra, we weren't going to rely on 1 pass. That's only in the case of Mili Mayim. So the Gemara answers, Ki Asu Rav Papa Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshumi Bei Rav. When finally Rav Papa Rav Huna came from the house of Rav, the yeshiva of Rav, Pershua, they reconciled this contradiction, and they said, well, im osa pasmi ruach achas, if he's putting up a pass on one side, then Shmuel says it's got to be rochov arba. But if he's putting up a pass on 2 sides, then it's a mashu mikan and a mashu mikan. Okay, so that's where we're going to stop now. We're up to Omar of Papa, which is 2 lines up before the bottom wide line. So that's where we'll pick it up in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.